She's an Emmy winner who's gone from the stage to behind the camera, and now she's sharing her opinions on life and a lot more than that. In her first HBO solo special, Wanda Sykes, Sick and Tired, Wanda recently took some time out of her busy schedule to sit down with me at our NPR West studios. Welcome, Wanda.
Thank you.
You can't really be more than life or talk about more than life, but what you talk about, whatever it is funnier than life and dirtier than life.
A little dirtier than life.
Yeah.
The clips that you're going to play, there's probably some words never uttered before on NPR.
Yeah, and never
will
be. People
are going to pull over and go, I didn't know I had XM. What is this?
You cover everything in this from pets to sex to nuclear war. You chose to do this, your first HBO solo special in Seattle. Why Seattle?
When I was on tour, I played like over 32 cities. And my first time in Seattle, I was just blown away. These people were going nuts. And they were just so appreciative and smart. And I said then, I was like, when I, you know, ready to shoot this special, I'm coming back here because the crowd was, they were just that great.
Well, you know, there's not any black people in Seattle.
You know, we imported
I'm just joking.
Plus, we bust some in. Actually, my favorite author, she was living there at the time. Well, now she passed, but Octavia Butler.
Oh, Octavia Butler. I love Octavia.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of your humor. You have a whole riff about how men are not dogs.
Right.
Let's take a listen.
So I don't have kids, but I have a dog. I have a dog. His name is Riley, man. And I love dogs. And I hate when women compare men to dogs. We got to stop doing that, ladies. You know, men are dogs. Men are dogs. Yeah, stop that. Men are not dogs. Dogs are loyal.
You have a lot more to say about the human species. Mm-hmm. Let's take a listen.
I'm for gay marriage. But I don't like that I have to say that. Because to me, it's like it shouldn't even be debated. It shouldn't even be in the court systems. Government shouldn't be involved in this. Because it's very simple. If you don't believe in same-sex marriage, then don't marry somebody of the same sex.
And then, you know, you go on to just riff on men and riff on women. What is the connection between your kind of more political humor and your humor about sex and relationships? Is it really all the same thing, or...?
Well, I think it all comes from the same place, and that's reality and just trying to be as honest as I can.
You have a moment where you talk about Fox, which dropped a show of yours.
Mm-hmm.
How tough was that for you? I mean, because you have done everything and been everywhere and still are everywhere, you know, on stage and on screen. Do you take it personally when you have a project that you are doing that, no, we're not going to
do that? You know what? It hurts like that. I mean, you put so much into it. You know, I really worked hard on that show. And then I was working with some friends who, you know, they were also writing on the show. So, yeah, you take it hard. It hurts. But I also understand the business. You know, all I could do is my best. The rest of it is out of my hands. Like, I don't have any control over my time slot. I don't have any control over how much they spend on marketing and promotion, you know. But it's now airing on TV1. They're showing the reruns of Wanda Lodge, which is really cool. I'm getting, like, this new audience now.
Yeah.
People are like, I really like that show. That was a great show.
When did you know that you could be a comedian?
Well, I really can't pinpoint the one moment when I said, I'm going to be a comic. I just remember hating my job when I was working at National Security Agency at the time.
Doing what?
I was a contracting specialist. So basically, I, you know, just bought stuff. I shopped all day. You know, but instead of shoes, I bought, you know, spying equipment and things like that.
Uh-oh, maybe you're still undercover. How are we to know?
You know, our government is that screwed up that possibly could be. I might be on the payroll. You never know. But, yeah, and I just know I hated that job, and I knew it was something else I was supposed to do, and I was listening to the radio, and it was like, hey, comedy contest, and actually it was a talent show, but comedy was a category, and I said, I'm going to write some jokes, and I did, and got on stage, and everything just made sense to me.
What is it like to be in a world where most of the people who make a living as comedians are white and male?
When I first started out, club owners would say, well, I would love to put you on the show tonight, but I already have another female comic going on. But then you'll have this, you know, show where it's just 10 white guys. They didn't even get to the black part yet. They just said, you know, I already have a female comic. So I'm like, what, do you think we're going to talk about the same things? Like women, we really don't have, you know, our world is that small where all we're going to do is talk about, you know, our periods and men. Come on. And that's how they really viewed it. And it just took me just continue to, you know, stay out there and work on my material and them seeing she can, you know, has a wide range of material.
Racial profile. I'm trying to stop it. So, you know, I'm trying to treat everybody the same. Just treat everybody like criminals. That's what I'm doing. That's what you guys start doing. It's my favorite thing. When I'm in the, you know, at a red light, I wait for like a nice car to pull up beside me with like a well-dressed white guy behind the wheel. And I just stare at him. And as soon as he looks at me, I lock my door.
So, yeah.
Hey, I'm pretty funny, huh?
Yeah, you definitely are.
I should stay with this.
Yeah. I'm going to move along to the production of this. You turned it around very quickly for DVD. You know, it's just like from HBO to DVD. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like that was, you had like 4 days before YouTube could get it and all of a sudden it would be on the internet?
Exactly. I mean, it's so many ways that it gets out. I mean, first we just were dealing with just the bootleggers. Now it's so many venues out there and ways and medium where people get your stuff out there. So I'm like, you know, let's just turn a DVD around. And plus, I mean, you know, after people see the special, I want them to be able to that next Tuesday grab the DVD instead of waiting, you know, like a month or two, and then you got to go back out and promote it and, you know, do the whole thing over again.
You're doing it all in one fell swoop.
Exactly. And the DVD, there'll be an additional, about 12 minutes of footage that, you know, we just didn't have time to put into the HBO special. So, yeah, a little bonus.
When I think about the different types of comedy that you do, again, like this political comedy and this personal comedy, it seems that you're very at ease with yourself as a person. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Or are you someone who, like some comics, really create a persona that goes out and tells the jokes?
Definitely the persona. I'm shy. I am. I mean, if I get around, you know, in a room of a bunch of people, especially, I don't know, or it takes me a while to warm up. The real me, I'm not as witty, as the comic Wanda. The comic, she's had time to work on some things. And,
so the comic can take revenge for all the other times that Wanda was left speechless.
Yes. The opinions are definitely mine. But, yeah, Wanda Sykes, the comedian, she's the better spokesperson, I think, to get them out. Yeah.
I hope that Wanda Sykes, the comedian, keeps listening to you.
Okay.
Tell her what to do, because it's working.
All right. Great.
Thanks Wanda.
Thank you.
Comedian Wanda Sykes' first solo stand-up for HBO, Sick and Tired, premieres tomorrow.